Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing you excellent entertainment from the king of DC media. Here's the Inside Acting Radio Show.
And now, here's your host, William Powell, the king of DC media.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the third annual Inside Acting Radio Show Super Bowl Special. I'm your gracious host from the East Coast with more soul than he can control, internationally known, nationally respected, and locally appreciated. Welcome to the show. We've got a contest going on. The person who predicts the exact score of Super Bowl 50 wins one free year of advertising on this show. But before we plunge into the show, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Tonight was a good night. You fought well, and for that we have these fortunes. Some say that money is the root of all evil, but I don't believe that. Evil is the root of all money, and you, my big friend, you are evil. I'm Marshall Everett, and I don't always make money, but as a member of FedChoice Federal Credit Union, I always save money. FedChoice Federal Credit Union, federally insured NCUA. Membership open to federal employees and their families. FedChoice Federal Credit Union, a proud sponsor of the Inside Acting Radio Show.
And if you'd like to advertise on the show, you can contact me at William400@yahoo.com or Facebook, William.T.Powell, or Twitter, Inside_Acting. So I see we have people on the line here. I got Rick Branch, Kristen Briscoe, so let me bring them on in. Good evening.
Hey,
hello,
William.
Everybody. Hey, Kristen, how are you? Hey, Rick, how
I'm
you
doing?
Well. Who else we got on the line? Yeah, who else is on the line?
Andy Arnold's here.
All right. Hey, Andy, all right. Okay. So I'm just going to plunge right in. I'm going to plunge right on in. So let's talk about the keys to the game. So, Andy, since you're the sports editor-in-chief, let's talk a little bit about what you think the keys to the game are.
Well, both teams have excellent defenses, but I think it's going to come down to quarterbacks, and Manning just doesn't have the arm anymore. Newton is going to allow the Panthers to do a lot of things, both running and throwing the ball, and I think he has a better offensive line. The key is going to be for the Panthers to get on the board early and often, and if they can do that, They're going to force Denver to throw the ball, and Manning just doesn't have the arm.
Yeah, I think I'll go along with that. I see somebody else here is on the line, so let me bring them on in. Okay, number 401. Hey, 401, who's on the line?
Hello, William.
Hey.
Hey, Dave DiLorenzo, what's happening there, brother? How are you?
Man, it's good to hear your voice. Welcome to the show.
Well, same
thanks
here.
For calling in, man. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, this
fantastic.
Is going to be a very interesting Super Bowl, I think. So.
No kidding.
I know we talked, was it last year or the year before? In fact, the last time I think Peyton Manning was in the Super Bowl, we talked that they were playing Seattle, and I think we both agreed that Seattle was probably going to blow them out, and they did. So. I think this year it's probably going to be a very similar fate because I think here's Carolina coming in really playing with house money, and there's really no pressure on them because if they win, then they're great. But if they lose, it'll be like, well, it's their first time in the Super Bowl. You know, they're just a young team. They'll be back next year. Peyton is up against it because of obviously his career length and, you know, figuring out this may be his very last game. And, like I said, it's going to be a very – I think Carolina's defense is going to play a lot better than people think.
Yeah, because so. They're number one in takeaways, number one in takeaways. Mm-hmm. So, Rick, what's your take on the game, man?
Well, all I can say is I am from North Carolina, so I've already got prejudice that I'm hoping and claiming that the Carolina Panthers are going to win. they might be young and all that, but I'm just rooting for Carolina so I can – walk that Carolina pride and shout it real loud up here in D.C.
Okay, Kristen, what's your take on the game?
Hey, William. Hey, guys. It's your girl, Kristen Briscoe. I just want to plug my show. Check me out on RIP Radio Network at 3 p.m. every Sunday starting February 21st. I'll be dishing about all the latest celebrity gossip. You can follow me on IG and Twitter at Moves by Kristen. And my prediction for the Super Bowl is Panthers 31, Broncos 21. But I got to give it to, you know, my Washington Redskins for at least coming as far as they did.
All right. All right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, I don't know, as far as the actual score, I'm still kind of formulating that in my mind. I know I've been looking at, the website 538, and they like, predict Super Bowls, they predict elections and everything. Everybody's saying Carolina. I think Carolina, too, but I just don't have a score yet. I'm not quite that sure. So, David, I know you have a background, man, in NFL films, and you got a show coming up, a new radio show. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I worked, lucky enough to work with films back from 97 to 1999 as a narrator for some 30 videos that we produced. Most of them were for the Hall of Fame inductions out in Canton, Ohio, so we had a chance to visit there. And we actually would broadcast our radio show from there back to my hometown, which is Providence, Rhode Island. And at the time, the internet wasn't really, you know, this back in 99, 98, a lot of the networks, the internet rather, really wasn't there like it is now with the social media. So we're looking forward to it. Our show is called the Gridiron Gumshoe Radio Show. And the reason it's called that, I'll tell you quickly, my friend Ace Casciotti, who worked at NFL Films for some 20 years, he was director of archives, and he was really responsible for a lot of those videos that we all love, you know, the 100 greatest touchdowns, 100 greatest tackles, and all the Super Bowl stories and so forth. He was the guy that really researched all those films. And his nickname was the Gridiron Gumshoe because he's just a trivia nut. He knows everything about football, all the answers to every trivia question. So that's really the way the show is going to go. And it's going to be on, we already had 1 year of it a year ago on Sunday mornings, 11 to 1. And we were lucky enough to have so many great players on over the years, even a couple of former Washington Redskins players and Dave Robinson, for instance. We had Charlie Taylor on the show, and really great guys, and we've had a great time. So we're going to start picking up the show again probably right before the draft this year and then follow it right through the season.
No, nice. That's awesome. Yeah, so
Thank you, Andy, we're going
to go back to you. And, you know, some people are saying the Panthers are like the worst 15-1 team in NFL history. What's your take on that?
They look pretty awesome. I think their defense is still underrated. The only weakness I see on that defense is at that one defensive end spot where they've had like three guys going. They've had some injuries there. But even though they've had injuries, they're not soft. They've generated a lot of pass rush off there. They've had like, I think, 13 sacks off of that position, which is very good. They're solid with their Coleman, their safety, Kirk Coleman. He had 7 picks this year, and that's what you want up the middle. They've got a great defensive tackle in Short. And a good linebacker,
yeah.
Thomas Davis, even with a broken arm.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he did all the key spots.
Yeah, yeah. So, Rick, what's your take on that? Hey, Kristen? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, finish what you were saying.
Oh, I was just asking Rick, what was his take on the Panthers being 15-1? Some people were saying they're a little bit overrated at 15-1.
Well, I'm really a novice when it comes to rating football games, so I'm really just wanting them to win because it's my home state.
I was born in Durham.
If we don't win, we made it. We made it there, and that's you know, that's good enough for me.
Throwing
my 2 cents worth. Carolina, you know, their division is a good division, but two or three of those teams had an off season. Tampa Bay is going to bounce back, you know, with their obviously the quarterback they have, the kid from Florida State. He's gonna get a lot better. The Saints, they may have Drew Brees for one more year. The Falcons still have Matt Ryan. So those are teams that really played well below their expectations. And Carolina, you know, beat the heck out of all three of them. And that's how partly because they're 8-0 at home, and then it's just in the NFC they were 11-1, you know, and in the division they were 5-1. And I think it was Atlanta that gave them the only loss. Yeah, so I'm looking at that now. So, like you said, they're probably the most underrated 15-1 team. When the Bears did this, you know, with the reference to Rivera, the coach, with the Chicago Bears in 85, when they did it, they had Hall of Fame marquee-type players. You know, they had Dan Hampton, and they had, Walter Payton, of course, and Jim McMahon and Willie Gault. So many great players.
Yeah, Otis Wilson.
Great coaches. Yeah, Ditka and Ryan. So they were almost expected to kill the Patriots 46-10, which they did. So if this comes out to be the same type of thing, 46-10, I don't think anyone will be surprised. They'll still probably be rated as one of the best teams of all time, maybe in the top 10 or 15 or 20, you know, depending who you're talking with. But I, you know, and it's funny. Someone brought this up today, and I don't even want to really bring it up too much. But when they were talking about Cam Newton and they're interviewing him on TV, underneath it said only the sixth African American quarterback to, you know, start a Super Bowl. It's like, you know, they want to get away from that whole issue. So why does ESPN have to put that on the bottom of the screen so that we see that? And it's like, oh yeah, gee, that's right, he's African American. We forgot about that. Don't even bring it up. It's not even a reason. You know what I mean? He's a great athlete. He can run the ball. He's like having a fullback at playing at quarterback. You know, regardless of what his ethnicity is. You know,
Cam is hot fire. 50 touchdowns Cam scored. 50
amazing.
TDs, 12 on the ground. That I had to read that twice. 50.
He's a machine. He's
amazing.
A machine. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the fourth African American quarterback in the last 4 years.
Well, there you go. That's a trend right there, and that tells you right now that that line has been blurred, and there's no more.
Exactly.
Gee, Doug Williams was the first. It's like, well, it's not even an issue anymore. In my opinion, I love football. I don't care what the color I root for is the color of the uniform, not the color
Doug
of someone's
Williams
skin.
Was the first MVP, I think. James with the Rams way back when. James.
James Harris. Yeah, James Harris was a quarterback with them. Yep. So, but and even the Doug Williams second quarter of that game he had, that was the first game ever played in San Diego. And they've had, I think, 3 or 4 Super Bowls there. And they'll never have another one now. If the Chargers leave San Diego for L.A., which they may do after next season, they'll never have another Super Bowl in San Diego because that stadium isn't set up as it should be. It was built so long ago that it needs more restrooms, it needs more handicap accessibility and so forth. But that's not even an issue right now, what we're talking about. But San Diego is such a great city, and they should have an NFL team there. But the Chargers, like I said, may go to L.A. Now there's talk that Peyton Manning might retire, but after this season, you know, go to L.A. for another season in the sun. So we'll see about that. But
I see Frank Cisco Anderson is on the line, so let me bring him on in. Hey, Frank.
Hey, William. Hey, Buzz. Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
All right, man. I'm good. Thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, no problem, no problem.
Yeah, I know you've been listening in, so, Kristen, yeah.
Hey, William, I just want to say, you know, all this talk about stats and everything surrounding the game, we can't forget about the entertainment that's going to be at the Super Bowl. We got Lady Gaga, who is set to sing the national anthem, and
nice.
As far as the halftime entertainment. Yeah, as far as the halftime entertainment, we have Coldplay, and then supposedly there's going to be a feature. Beyonce is going to be featured in the performance. I don't know if you all saw Beyonce when she did the halftime show, but, you know, she's a great performer. And there's been some talks, you know, as to, you know, why all of a sudden is she going to be featured and, you know, thinking that she's the main event. Why is she coming in as just a feature to Coldplay? And why so last minute? And also, we love Super Bowl also for the commercials. And Lil Wayne is going to be making his acting debut in a Super Bowl commercial. So you all might
really
want to.
For who?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure. I heard it on the radio just as kind of like a teaser that he's going to be making his debut in one of the commercials. So
that should be interesting.
Rihanna's supposed to sing too as well? Or? Is it Rihanna supposed to perform too?
Is it? I'm sorry, Rihanna.
Rihanna's
going to
be part of the show Saturday night, I think, with the CBS, with the NFL Honors. I think she's going to be there performing for that. Rihanna. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah, there was some controversy surrounding a song that Beyonce did with Coldplay where she's dressed up in Indian attire, and there's been some little controversy, you know, about the appropriation So, but I'm sure it'll be a good show. But some people are saying that Coldplay is not necessarily the type of band that you want to see at a Super Bowl performance. But you know, I'm sure they're going to pull out all the bells and whistles for the Super Bowl. I mean, I know they're a great band. So I'm sure it'll be good. But you know, I'm not going to lie. That's my favorite part of the Super Bowl, the halftime show.
Wow.
Even if there's no wardrobe malfunction, it's still a good time.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah. What's your take on that, Frank? What's your take on Coldplay and all that? I don't know much about Coldplay. Was it Coldplay or cosplay or who are they? I don't know much about.
Well, Coldplay sometimes engages in cosplay. you guys are right, because Coldplay usually plays more on the slower, you know, alternative, I guess, adult listening type of rock. And usually they want a more exciting band, like Foo Fighters or...
Okay.
You know, a group that brings it, you know, and a faster pace, more exciting music. So I agree. I'm still going to watch it, and definitely, you know, you never know. They may, you know, speed up some of their songs, you know, which some groups do.
Maybe they're calling in reinforcement by bringing in Beyonce. Maybe that's what's going on.
It's true.
Oh, wow.
You know, they back her up on one of her songs instead of, you know, vice versa. So.
You know, what? There was a Super Bowl some years ago. You guys probably remember, what was it? Black Eyed Peas had about three or four, I think when my Ravens won that year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was criticizing the performance. That's the only one I remember recently.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yes.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, the first four or five Super Bowls, it was the Up With People, and that was the only performance at halftime. It was the same performance, I think, for the first, I want to say, three or four Super Bowls. It was the same band. It was, you know, obviously the same group. They were called Up With People, and that's because they were Pete Rozelle's favorite band. Imagine that, how we've changed, how things, Pete Rozelle, he was the old commissioner.
Oh,
the
Pete
first.
Rozelle, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, Pete.
Oh.
Yep. Up With People.
What if it was Roger Goodell's favorite? Who would Roger Goodell's favorite be? I had to
Peter
guess.
Paul and Mary, I think. I'm not sure.
So maybe it's Coldplay. Maybe it's Beyonce.
Yeah, it's probably Coldplay.
Woo!
Lady Gaga.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Let's kind of switch gears to coaches. So Andy, I'm gonna throw this out there. Which coach do you think is better?
I think Don Shula is a big asset to the Carolina offense.
I think his son Michael. Yeah.
Aside from the guys on the field, he's done a lot getting them ready and giving them the X's and O's. They're going to come out, you know, watch their first 15 plays. They're going to be key. That's when they have to get on the board, and he's going to have the plays ready for them to do that, and they will execute it well. I like Kubiak, too. He's an old quarterback. And that defense, Denver's defense, has been outstanding this year. And just lately, playoffs, Von Miller has looked unstoppable.
He
won't do it all.
Yeah, he's rough. He's fast. Very fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I believe this is the first time in Super Bowl history, and I guess it took 50 games to get there, that both head coaches played on winning Super Bowl teams. It might actually be the first one where they actually played in Super Bowls, but I know both teams, both players had won, both coaches. Kubiak was a backup to Elway when they won in 98 and 99, and of course Rivera with the 85 Bears as a linebacker. So that's a little tidbit of information for you.
Yeah, I always like Rivera as a player. Yeah, Rick, what's your take on the coaches?
You kind of got me at a loss right now. I don't have any inputs. I did have some inputs on the commercials, though, because I took part of the Doritos contest, but didn't quite make the top 50. So,
talk about that. What's the process for that?
We had a lot of people do commercials for the Super Bowl, and I was asked to play a father in this one commercial that was did here in Maryland. And we did the commercial and sent it out there and tried to get as many votes for the top rated and the most views. And we did get that category, but out of that category, we didn't make the top 50. During the Super Bowl for Doritos. And though everybody thought we had a good commercial, we just wasn't part of the top 50. So, and I was hoping I was going to make it because that would have been a lot of views that got me out there.
Huh. That's still pretty cool that you even made it that far.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Even though we didn't win the top 50, we were still winners because we made it the most views in the highest ranked category.
With some sirens. Yeah, there you go.
Is everybody okay?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Yeah, somebody had an emergency.
We're talking about coaches with Carolina. Do you know how many coaches and assistant coaches, Carding Ron Rivera, they have on their staff?
How many?
20. Assistant coaches. I mean, Don Shula had like 3, I think, when he coached in Super Bowl III against the Jets, 3 or 4. Special teams, offense, defense, and that was probably it. Strength coach. There's 20 coaches. You've got assistant offensive line, quarterbacks coach, tight end, linebacker, strength, offensive line, wide receiver. And Ricky Prohl is the wide receivers coach who also played in the Super Bowl with 2 teams, played with the Rams against the Patriots and against the Titans. Played for the Cardinals when they played Pittsburgh. And that was last season.
I love Ricky Prohl when he played.
Yeah, he was a wide receivers coach.
He's awesome.
The wide receivers coach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a good possession guy. Yeah,
exactly.
I remember him.
Yep, he was a good player when he played. Now, I'm going to tell you the hidden guy to watch out for. The secret weapon for Carolina is going to be one of their wide receivers. And he played for Michigan. I'm a big Michigan guy. It's one of my favorite teams. And what's his name? I'm trying to find his name now. I can't even see his name. They just had it up here a second ago. But he played. I feel like an idiot now. I just had it in front of me and I lost the page. offense, okay. But Fitzgerald Toussaint was a running back for Pittsburgh who put the ball on the ground and Denver got a chance to win the game. And otherwise, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't even be in this game. Already one Michigan alumnus to thank for being here.
Well, let's talk about the defensive backs because you got Josh Norman on Carolina. He's a beast, and then you got this Aqib Talib on Denver. I mean, I'll throw that out to you, Andy. Which secondary you think is better?
I think they're both outstanding. I think the guy who's going to make the difference is Kurt Coleman for Carolina. He was one of the league leaders this year, and he plays strong safety and they're free safety, I think, and he does it very well. He's all over the place. He's the ball very well. When you see a cornerback with a bunch of picks, that means the teams are picking on him. But when you see a bunch of picks, that means he's around and he's doing his job. He's a ball hawk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if he has to throw, he's going to have a field day.
Huh. That's right.
Oh, Devin,
that's right.
Devin Funchess. That's the guy I couldn't think of. Devin Funchess. He wears number 17. But he was only a rookie this year. 31 catches, 15 yards per catch, and 5 touchdowns.
Woo!
Now, he's going to be the guy that they're not going to double-team, because you know they're going to try to double-team Jericho Cotchery and, you know, the rest of the guys. And Olsen, he's going to draw a lot of attention at the tight end position. But Devin Funchess, he might be the guy that just comes out of nowhere and catches a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah.
And like someone else had mentioned, too, the first 15 to 20 plays are scripted by Carolina. And, you know, if they get a lead of 14-0 in the first quarter, it's going to be a long road and a long day for Denver to try to catch up and shoot past them, because that's just going to feed the wheel that the Carolina Panthers are on. They've done that all year. They've taken off big leads, 34-0 at halftime, 28-0 after one or two periods, you know, two quarters, and no one can seem to catch up and go past them. And you know, when their defense, you know, starts to clamp down on you, you're not going to be able to come back from it. And Luke Kuechly, he's going to be a beast on the defense, you know,
he's
linebacker.
A beast.
So.
Yeah.
He is.
He's so
amazing
fast.
Player.
Young boy is fast. I don't know how many of y'all watched the championship game, and that was a blowout. I mean, that, so what happened there? Did they, was it because Carolina was that good? Or did, some people said the Cardinals didn't even show up.
Yeah, well, they won a playoff game the week before, and that always, you know, makes it, yeah, well, that's it. Sometimes you win a game and you win a playoff game. Like, wow, we won a playoff game. And they go, oh, you're going to play again next week? Oh, no. And it's like, all right, let's go to Carolina, try to play. And they get there and they just don't have it. They either run out of gas, either, you know, it's been a long flight or whatever the case may be. And they get there and Carolina was pumped up for that game. I mean, it's like, we win, we go to the Super Bowl. Are you crazy? And, you know, they've been winning all year, so they're used to it. Now, you watch, this might be just the catalyst for this Carolina team to become have a run like the Patriots did for the next 5, 6, 7 years, or however long Cam Newton is going to play. I mean, here's a kid that's relatively young. I mean, he's only in his, fourth year? He's 50. He's 6'5", 245 pounds, and he's in his fifth season. So he's not even in his prime just yet, just touching his prime at, 27 years old. So...
if you look at the line offensive line, they've got one homegrown kid. They're center. He's an all-pro. If you look at the other guys, they're free agents. They took the blind spot guy, Michael Orr.
Good for him.
They took him as a free agent. They took Brad Malone. Well, he's a center. He's the guy they brought up. They took the other tackle, Mike Remmers, from the Vikings practice squad, late in 2014.
Yep.
He signed.
He's a young guy. Yeah, he's only in his third year. So.
You know, signed him as a free agent in 14. And then they got this kid playing the other guard, the left guard. He's only 22 years old, Trey Turner. Young from the draft. And to now, I think he's in his second or third year, and he's only 22.
Yep.
Yeah,
6'3", 320 pounds.
Now the manager got this line together, assembled, and most of them are still young, you know.
Yeah.
Or they might have to get rid of and replace soon. He's got the most experience out there.
Yeah.
But how they put these guys together is just amazing.
Yep. You know, you go up and down their roster.
They've
got guys from Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, Georgia. I mean, you know, Oregon. These are not kids they're drafting from mom and pop state. These are kids that played in a pro style offense in college. By the time they get to the NFL, it's like having 3 years in the minor leagues, you know. So
exactly. Yeah, Frank, what's your take on that on Carolina's offense?
I love watching them. Like you said, poetry in motion. You know, they you can tell like they believe in themselves. You know, they believe they can. Yeah, that really helps and stuff. But I think they're going to really need it, too, because, you know, Denver's got, you know, still got the number one defense. So that's I don't think it's going to be a blowout and stuff. But I think Carolina's going to win by a touchdown or two, but I don't think it'll be a blowout. stuff, but still, but no, like you said, with the leaders so like Cam in there and stuff, you can tell the guys the line believes in them and they're gonna protect them, till they or die doing it. And it's just like you say, they feel like a team of destiny. I can't wait to see, to watch the shows on Sunday night and stuff. So I'm definitely rooting for Carolina. I think they'll win. Well, my prediction for the score will be 24-17, Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Christian, I'm going to get back to you. You should know this. What big show is going to premiere after the Super Bowl? They usually, premiere some new TV show or something like that going on Sunday night. What have you heard?
I'm not really sure what's going to be premiering. I know I'm going to be in bed.
You're not going to watch it.
I'm taking Sunday, and I'm going to just go to bed early, honestly.
Wow.
The X-Files back.
No Super Bowl party for me. I will be at home enjoying the game from my home, and I will be heading to bed early. I am tired.
That's funny.
It's the middle after the halftime show.
Woo! Oh, my goodness.
That's okay, a lot of
DVR. You didn't even have to watch it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Okay, so, Rick, I kind of threw this out to you. I don't know if you've watched a lot of Super Bowls in the past, but how do you think this one will rank? You think it's going to be like one of the higher ranked ones, or what do you think?
Being that Carolina is fairly new and into the Super Bowl playing, I think it's going to be ranked up there pretty high, to be honest with you.
Okay. Frank, what about you?
Most definitely. Like you said, I'll piggyback on what he said. With Carolina being new, and like you said, with Cam and with the old story, and about the team of destiny, and all the guys on the team and stuff, the excitement and the enthusiasm. Definitely. She was saying, the only down player if they don't play it right will be that's how I still with Coldplay. If they'll play the faster versions of their music or versions of Beyonce, then that could be the only slow part of the night. The rest of it, the night, and the game should be spectacular. I'm super excited. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. David, what do you think about
I was trying to go up with a score. I know you were having trouble with the score. I'm looking at 34-17 Carolina, maybe even 41-17. I just think that Cam Newton is just going to lead this team, and they're going to jump on his shoulders, and he's going to carry them through. I think Peyton's going to struggle a little bit, and if he starts throwing some of those fluttering balls and they get picked off, and like Kuechly's had already, two playoff games, he's had a touchdown return in each one. So I know if he has another one, it's probably going to be some sort of NFL record, I'm sure. Because I know no one's ever had 4 in 3 games. But if he has 3 in 3 games, that's got to be a record of some kind. So I think Carolina's defense is going to step up. They'll probably have the lead, probably 21-3 at halftime, something like that. It's going to be an interesting game. It will be a high watched game. The volume of viewers will be higher. I think because it's the 50th, because it's Manning on his way out, and plus Cam Newton's coming out party, I think you get a lot of derivatives of that going into. I'm not really ready for a 6-hour pregame show, but I guess we'll have to put up with something like that. But it should be an interesting game. I think it's going to be a good game.
Oh, excellent. Andy, how about you?
Denver's offense will only score once. I don't know if it'll be a field goal or a touchdown, but I think they'll only score once. Defense might score something, but that offense will get it done against the Carolina defense. As far as being a classic game, no, you have to look to last year. That was a classic game going down to the final second.
Right.
Yeah.
No way this is going to be of that magnitude.
So, yeah.
What is Denver switches quarterback?
What was that, Frank?
I said, what if Denver switches quarterback?
Yeah, that's something that no one. That's the dark horse too for their side. That's a good question. If they come in with the backup quarterback there, he might come in and set them on fire. But I don't see him yanking Manning if he's struggling. I only see him coming out if he gets hurt. I think it would be too much of an insult if he comes out, if they take him, just kind of take him out. Although if he throws two or three picks, it could be a long day.
I've been thinking all along, are you playing to win or not? If you're playing to win and he can't get the job done, switch quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree too.
Yeah, because Osweiler was terrible. He wasn't much of anything. So, yeah, I don't see how that'll – that's not going to help anything.
Than Manny did this year.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Hey, imagine this. This is a little trivia for you, too. This will be Archie Manning's, fourth Super Bowl. Eli's played in two. And if – if Peyton wins, that'll be his second – I know, Archie. And the ironic thing is Archie never had a winning season the entire NFL career that he played. I think it was 12 seasons. Never had a winning season.
Well,
how ironic is that?
No, we know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm old enough to remember him playing at Ole Miss. I remember him playing at Ole Miss College at Ole Miss 1970. That was his last season. And I have a magazine called Pro Quarterback Magazine, and on the cover, they had all the quarterbacks. They came out in 1970, and it's a who's who of Super Bowl quarterbacks, basically. Joe Theismann was one of them. Jim Plunkett was one. Archie, who never played in one. Lynn Dickey, who got drafted by Green Bay. And there was someone else, too, another pretty famous quarterback, I think, that came out that year. But it was the year of the quarterback in 1970, and Plunkett won the Heisman. And then he ended up winning the Super Bowl in 81 as a member of the Raiders over the Philadelphia Eagles, 27-10. So, but the first quarterback to ever win a Heisman and win a Super Bowl was Roger Staubach.
Oh, wow.
71, when he beat Miami 24-3. Yeah, Super Bowl 5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah, well, go back real quick on what you said about Archie Manning. It's funny how when they mention him now they add the great Archie Manning.
Yeah, never had a winning season before.
Yeah. I thought, man, he didn't even have a winning season. I just started laughing.
He was running for his life. He spent too much time running for his life.
We saw it.
No, he ran for more yards backwards than he did forward.
Oh man! Wow! Okay, so I want to get into some predictions. So I think I've finally come to a conclusion. Now I was watching, listening to what was it, Madden? I think Madden, EA Sports. They do a prediction every year, and they said 24-20. I know last year, I think they predicted almost exactly the outcome last year, down to the yards that Brady threw for. I think they were only off by 27 yards or something. He threw 27 more. They did 24-20. I'm thinking, I agree with you, David, 34-17. So now, Frank, did we get a prediction from you?
Oh, yeah, I said 24-17, Carolina.
24-13. Okay, I'm writing this down. Rick, did we get numbers from you?
I go with 34-17 as well.
Okay, that's a popular score. Okay, Andy, what's your number?
24-3.
Yeah, that. Yeah. And then Kristen, we know you 31-21. Okay.
Yeah.
What was that? Well, you'll be in bed, so yeah, you probably watch the next day. Find out the next day. All right, folks. So what I want to do
but
now
I won't
is
miss
this,
I won't miss the halftime show. That's for sure.
That's right. Okay, so. That's right. You got to watch that halftime show. Co-player, co-player, whatever they call these guys. I don't even know. It's too young for me. I don't know. I don't know.
I'll be in the bathroom.
Huh?
I'm old school. I'll be in the bathroom at halftime.
Cool. That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah. All righty. Okay. So let's talk about plugs. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We got see the switchboard to lighting up, folks. So let's see who else is on the line. I think this is might be Paul Siever, number 455. Let's see what Paul has to say right quick. Hey, Paul.
That's
is that
me.
You?
Yes,
hey,
it is.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, thanks for calling in, man. Yeah, so we were
having fun on the show here.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. So just kind of quickly run down, man, your keys, what you think the keys to the game is, and give us your score, your prediction.
Oh, geez. Ever since the Steelers lost, I lost all my heart. So, You know what? I think it's going to be a tight one. You got two teams here that both have pretty good defenses and pretty good, pretty halfway decent offenses. I think you're going to see, I'm going to say it's a low scoring game. I'm going to say 24-21.
Ooh.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm not picking the winner, though. I'm just picking the score.
What? No, man, come on. You got to pick the winner. You got
to
pick the winner.
Well, then I have to go because I'm a Steelers fan. I have to stay with the AFC, so.
Ooh.
That's just
okay.
How that works.
One pick for Denver. Okay. All right.
Got to give them the edge. Got to give them the edge. I think they got what it takes this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, let me put a question out there, everyone. Is it better for the NFL to see Manning maybe go out on top, riding the white horse out the stadium with a trophy, or do you think it's better that Cam Newton brings in this whole new Jameis Winston and a few other, you know, great talented African-American quarterbacks and puts that on the mantle and everyone
Ooh.
Says, okay, fine, everyone. Well, we had that subject talked about earlier. That's why. Because,
that's a tough one. Wow, because you know, both of those
tough,
are monumental moments in the sport, and this is
right.
The biggest Super Bowl that we've had in our lifetimes because this is number 50.
Number 50.
I mean, so you know, do you want to see one of the greats from all time go out with this major victory and retire with that sort of his head, or do you want to see this new kid come up and just come up out of nowhere and kind of like wow that oof boy that's. Boy, I tell you what, either one of those things I think is a pretty exciting moment. I don't want to pick one over the other, but I think either one of those would be just what a great moment in the sport.
Well, really, that's what you've got. It's a win-win because you've got one of those outcomes that's going to happen, regardless of what we feel or think. Does Carolina take the next step and become a dynasty, or do they get a little squished and losing the game and then saying to themselves, well, we had a great run, maybe we'll come back next year. Or do they say, hey, we won this game, Super Bowl 50, look out, Super Bowl 51, here we come back again.
Yeah.
You know, this is got to be Peyton Manning's last game in Denver, regardless of win or lose.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is probably his last game,
I can't imagine he's going to want to – he would go play somewhere else either. I mean,
they talked about L.A. or something, but it's not going to happen.
I can't imagine.
No,
that
won't happen.
Here's the thing. If he wins, I think he's definitely done with the sport.
Right. Right, does an Elway exit. See you later. Thank you very much. Thanks for shopping.
Thank you very much. I've had a great time. What a great run this has been,
Right, and then he can go up against the HGH controversy, and that'll be his legacy now. Unfortunately,
exactly.
Like Tom Brady's with the Deflategate. He'll never forget that. They'll never leave this Deflategate alone.
Absolutely not.
I can see it now in Canton, Ohio. They'll have his head bust, but a miniature style, and they'll say, oh, look, Tom's head bust is deflated. You know what I mean? That's how it's going to end up.
Hey, we still talk about Pete Rose betting on sports. I mean, sometimes it never ends, right?
He's still trying to get reinstated, too, Pete Rose.
Oh, he has been forever,
Till he dies, probably.
He bet on every sport there was, but not baseball. Pete.
Yeah, right.
Just say you did it.
Yeah.
Say you did it, shut up, admit it, and then everyone might go, okay, never mind. As long as you didn't bet on your own game. That's,
Yes, after we talk, I'm going to put on my oath.
Yeah, that hurts.
But,
yeah.
Tom Brady's still winning. He's married to Giselle, the Victoria's Secret model, so, He's okay.
Hey, you know, Kristen, I heard that Tom Brady had a musical group. They were going to play halftime in the Super Bowl next year. Tom Brady and the Deflators.
There you go. Hey-o. You are correct, sir. That's a funny joke.
Call him the Brady Bunch.
Oh,
Brady Bunch.
Boo.
If he does, I'll sign him to my label.
I just say everyone's going to be watching Coldplay at halftime. I'm going to be go get some cold cuts, so I ain't worried about
yeah,
it.
Cold cuts.
Cold pizza. Yeah, cold pizza.
Cold pizza, you know, some cold dip. If I went and shed something to drink, get some cold duck, a nice cold beer, but not Coldplay.
That's funny.
I'm thinking they went with Coldplay because they want to play it safe. Because, you know, with all the different groups and bands, you know, you have people cursing and, you know, they even called Beyonce's performance a little too provocative. So I'm thinking they wanted to play it safe with Coldplay. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, they pulled the NFL players. I don't know where they got the NFL players from, if it's just the bed of players here in the Super Bowl, but I think they pulled the entire league asking the players who they would want for a halftime artist, and they all said 60% of them, 75% of them said Drake.
Right,
so,
Drake.
Yeah.
That was a good show, yeah.
Yeah, he owns half of a basketball team right in Toronto. He's owned part of the Raptors or something. So
he's pretty big in Toronto, yeah.
Right, yeah, so.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Black Eyed Peas, that's about as far out as I get. They played Sesame Street, so they can't be all bad, right? They're pop. They're kind of like a pop group. Black Eyed Peas.
I thought the Black Eyed Peas were. I thought they did a great job, honestly. I think Black Eyed Peas has mass appeal.
I thought they were disappointing live, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like them. Yeah. They're pretty good. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're kind of near the end here. So what I wanted to do is get everybody a chance to plug what they got going on. So Frank, we'll start with you. Talk a little bit about your company. What's going on?
Okay, everyone. Well, I have a independent record label called ELRS Records, and with that, music on iTunes. Just put in type in the ELRS Records, and you can see any of my singles releases. And then also, I'm a partner on the film festival here in D.C., the World Music Independent Film Festival. And this year, this August, we're doing a seven-day cruise from the Bahamas, from Baltimore to the Bahamas and back. So Labor Day weekend. So we're at www.wmiff.net. So you can check that out and get all the details there. Come cruise with us and check out our awards gala and have some fun. And that's what it is.
That's what's up. Right on. Okay, Rick.
Well, right now I'm between jobs. I just want to become a government employee starting in March. But between there, I'm doing some TV commercials. I auditioned for a Veterans Affairs commercial the other day. The subject is suicide prevention, because there seems to be a whole lot of veterans committing suicide. And I did a thing with Danny Glover and Gabriel Union in December, with a movie's coming out in November called Myers Christmas. And I got a commercial for a healthcare program in D.C. that I'm shooting tomorrow. And other than that, I'm just enjoying my time off between jobs.
Only for someone with not much to do, that's a lot to do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. You're like, you got to stop talking, man. That's great. Wow, that's nice. Impressive.
It's kind of like perfect time because I got all this free time where I can, you know, most of the time I have to say no because I'm working. Now I got this free time. I can say, yeah, come on, give it to me, you know.
That's right. That's what's up. Okay. Yep. Andy, what you got going on?
I'm preparing to work on my dog's presidential campaign.
Oh, Donald Trump?
Pretty soon we'll be announcing his national write-in campaign. The major parties give us their candidates. I'm ready to get the stuff out on the internet. His picture against theirs.
It was right.
All right. All right. Okay. Paul, what you got going, man?
Well, I got a couple of things going on. Next weekend at the Farpoint Convention up in Timonium, Maryland, be the premiere of the Starship Farragut episode I wrote called The Crossing. It'll be at 10 p.m. in the Green Spring in the main hall on the big screen at the convention. And we just finished the live-action filming for the sequel episode to that, Homecoming, which will be the final episode of Starship Farragut, the series. And in conjunction with that, I just filmed and directed my first music video for a young lady named Amy Berry, who's a local singer-songwriter in the D.C. area, to do a music video for a song that she wrote for the film. So that's nice. And next summer, I've got one of my first big contracts in a while. I'm going to be doing a film called Blood of the Dragon, which is a fantasy film. I'll be playing a evil wizard named Sostratos. So... looking forward to that getting started.
Oh, nice, man, nice. Awesome. Okay, Kristen?
Yes, right now you can check me out on demand on the BET Network. I had a lead role that premiered January 6th on the true crime show called Criminals at Work. And, yes, I was the villain. So you can check that out on demand. I believe my episode will be on through February, I believe. But, yes, that was the first episode, so make sure you check it out. I'm preparing for some performances. I'm also a dancer preparing for a performance with a national dance team, and I'll also be headed to Chicago in March to perform with Chocolate City Burlesque and Cabaret. And also, on the 21st of February, I'll be having my own radio show where I'll be talking about celebrity gossip and news on Ripped Radio Network, 3 o'clock on Sundays. So, yeah, lots of auditions, audition season. So, yeah, busy.
Nice. And then, David, before we get to you, I think I see one more person on the switchboard. It's 11th hour. Let's see who's on number 455. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. Let me bring him on in. Hey, 455, who's on the line?
Hey, Bill. This is Larry.
Oh, hey, what's up, man? Thanks for calling.
Hey, Larry, you got that $5 you owe me?
Oh, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. So quickly, what's your take on the game?
What's my take on the game? Well,
yeah.
Unfortunately, you know that screenplay I wrote about anti-dog fighting.
Yeah.
I was a big NFL fan until the whole Michael Vick thing went down. And I actually cannot watch it anymore.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I know. Trust me. I mean, Doritos lost a lot of money when I stopped watching NFL. Yeah.
Well,
wow,
I said the same
so
thing about if they legalized marijuana, I want stock in Funyuns.
Everybody else gave a prediction. I guess you won't be watching, but you could. I guess you could at least predict use your crystal ball. I mean, you're a screenwriter, so use your imagination. What's the score going to be? Who's going to win? Use your imagination.
I won't predict who, but I'll predict what. It's going to come down to the last play. How about that?
Okay, that's as far as you can go with it.
Yeah, I'm thinking Hail Mary. It'll come down to the last play.
Okay. That works.
You'll catch it.
If I'm right,
yeah.
I want a case of Doritos. and give him $5.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to give you $5. Okay. All right, Lord. So then, what else you got going on, man? I know you're writing a lot of screenplays.
Well, I was listening to the gal, and I was like, I can't compete with that. You know, I mean, really, I mean, a screenwriter, you know, I'm sitting here at my Mac 12 hours a day. And, you know,
yeah.
That's what you do as a screenwriter. But, yeah, lots of exciting things. My Yale professor took my latest script out to L.A. with him this week, and he's going to pitch it to two directors. So, you know, I got another one sitting out in with Robert Duvall. And so who knows? I mean, you know, it's
nice.
There's so much luck involved. You never know.
What
it took.
Duvall, what's that about? What's that one about?
Well, if you look up Grace the Amazing Mule, if you look up Grace the Amazing Mule on YouTube, you'll see this 2,000-pound dog that is a mule that can do, I mean, dunk a regulation basketball, play an organ, paint a picture. And this fantastic, it's look up Grace the Amazing Mule. And the owner-trainer of her is a good friend of Robert Duvall's. They worked together in the movie Get Low. Well, the trainer, Steve Foster, and I worked in Wayne Shipley's Day of the Gun. And I play the owner of the mule in that movie. And Steve and I got to know each other, and he came to me and he goes, could you write me a screenplay that would highlight what my mule can do, and I'll give it to Robert. And he sent me an email that he gave it to him last week, but he's so busy, who knows when he's going to get to it.
Wow.
So again, nice. It's all, you know, I mean, it's all talk until you have the check in your hand. But
one of my favorite. He did, what was that picture he did, A Night in Old Mexico on Netflix, some Mexican director. It was pretty good.
His quintessential work is Tomorrow. You have to see the classic Tomorrow, which you can
Tomorrow.
Only get from the, yeah, the only get, it's a De Faulkner book, he says that it's his favorite, and I actually watched it, and it's just an amazing film. It's called Tomorrow.
Okay, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah,
awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's
so
it, really.
David,
I mean, you know, Wish You Will is playing this month on Showtime, and you'll see me as the bailiff in the courtroom scenes, and that's when I met its author, David Baldacci, and he's the reason why I'm a screenwriter now.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you made that connection. Made that connection.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, apparently we were separated at birth. And after we... how can you go to the same two universities, get the same two degrees, move within 1 mile of each other, take your two dogs to the same vet for 20 years, and not have something in common? So when this all came out in our conversation on the set of Wish You Well, I really did, and I told him the story, and he thinks it's great. I said, I looked at him, and I went, well, you know, if you can do it. You know? So, you know, his very first book was also his. He's written 45 novels now, and 8 of them have been made into movies. The 8th one is the one that's on now, Wish You Well, that I'm in. But the first one was Absolute Power with Gene Hackman and Clint Eastwood.
Eastwood.
That's a great film.
Yeah, that was David's very first book, and it's what made him. So, you know,
that's
you never
right.
know what's going to, you know, the big thing is there's so much luck in this business that you have to put yourself in a position to be lucky. And that's the best you can hope for. So you got to go everywhere, talk to everybody, and do everything, and then hopefully something clicks.
And don't be a jerk.
You certainly do that, man. My hat's off to you. And, you know, Lawrence, you know, you told me, I think that story about, what was it, about Dottie was saying that, it was one of these deals where, what did you tell me? You don't ask somebody like Baldacci for
it's the Hollywood Insider that I'm getting, because my Yale professor, you know, his students wrote Olympus Has Fallen, Hangover, 500 Days of Summer, The Wedding Ringer that was out last summer. It took Crichton, the author of Olympus Has Fallen, took him 9 years. To finally sell that, and agents would actually fire him. He'd have an agent for 2 years, and they'd say, "We can't sell any of your scripts. You know, we go away." And it was a tough time. Took him nine years to sell it, and then as soon as Olympus Has Fallen made it, boom, he gets London Has Fallen, the sequel. Then Sylvester Stallone brings him in to do Expendables 3, and now directors are just bringing him scripts and saying, fix these. And so he's actually got six scripts right now that he's fixing out in L.A. You know, the guy literally went in 12 months, became a millionaire. But it took him almost 10 years to get there.
Right.
So who knows?
Yeah.
Who
knows?
In the meantime, I call you guys up and we just chat on the phone.
Well, gee, you made me feel real good right now.
You're plugging yourself, man. That's what. You go everywhere, do everything, man. That's what's up. Yeah. Fantastic.
That's it.
You were even on
the
set of one of my movies. Yeah. I was producer of.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
How is
that's
that?
Right.
Is that out of post?
It's not yet. They're still working on it. Still working on it. But, yeah, thank you for coming out. Okay, so, David, what you got going, man?
Yes. Well, I mean, I can't compete with all these slackers you have on the show tonight, but, I mean, let's face it. But, I don't know. Maybe some of you might have figured it out, but I actually am a stand-up comedian. Unfortunately, I'm not very funny. That's the only problem there. But I've been blessed to do a lot of voiceovers. I do a lot of character voice impressions, things like that, local commercials here in the Providence and Boston area. I've been doing stand-up comedy for over 30 years. My website is goombacomedy.com. It's G-O-O. I know. It's got to be funny, right? So
hey,
G-O-O-M-B-A.
Forget about
com.
It. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Don't believe him. He's funny. He's funny. He's a funny dude.
What about
okay.
you
saw my act down in Virginia that one time. That was fun.
Yeah. Wise guy and, Vincent Fiore. Never forget it.
That's right. No, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, Vince's a good guy. But, yeah, I keep busy and I've been doing a lot of fun things. And I sing the national anthem at various sporting events, too, the Canadian and the American. I sang it at Fenway Park in Boston back in 2013. So that was pretty cool adventure that was. And that's it. I'm wonderful, and then there's the rest of you.
You are a comedian.
That's right, exactly. But I got to tell you quickly, I've been trying to lose some weight, and last week I was outside, and you know this is, you got to get to the gym when this happens. I turned to my left, it was a bright sunny day, and my shadow knocked over a five-year-old. that's not a good, you got to get to the gym when that happens.
Does that mean we're going to have five more weeks of winter? Yeah, all
right. That's right, five more weeks of funny jokes. That's about it right there.
Oh, man.
All right, one last trivia note before I go. One last trivia note. If Cam Newton wins the game, he'll be the first quarterback ever to win a Super Bowl wearing the number one.
Really?
He'll be number one.
And then number 12 has won the most Super Bowls. Uniform number 12 has won the most.
Hey, everybody. So. I have to go. You all have a great night. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
All right, you two guys.
Okay,
thanks.
Man. All right.
Thank you so much.
Andy, Rick. Kristen, David, Paul, Lawrence.
Thanks, William.
Yeah,
thank you, folks.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. We'll have to do this again. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I wish I'd have gotten in earlier. This was fun.
Yeah, we're going to get you a watch for your birthday.
I know.
Yeah.
Watch.
Awesome.
All right, take care, guys.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night. Okay, folks, let me leave you with this. I don't have a quote for you, but I'll just say do something for your career every day and break a leg. Good night, everybody.